Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, one, two. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa. The saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man. Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again. Yeah, and I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth. And cats get mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cross. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message. Forever I'll yell. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him, Joe.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Welcome to this Friday edition of Contending for the Faith with your brother Moses Henry Jones. Well, I'm in studio this afternoon to do a short program, and this is going to be a part one of two parts. I'm going to do the other short broadcast tomorrow, and my topic of discussion is Kenneth Copeland. And I want to show you very, very simply, we don't have to do a long show. We don't have to do a two-hour show to prove that Kenneth Copeland is a false prophet on two counts, two important counts, may I add. When you read Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 21, 22, Deuteronomy 18, starting at verse 20, and then you work your way through verse 21 and 22, you will find out that there are three counts in which a false prophet can be discovered, three counts. And Kenneth fails as a false prophet on two counts. Not that a false prophet has to fail in all three, but any one of these three makes the false prophet false. So, based on Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22, Kenneth Copeland meets two of the three criterias based on the audio that I have. And so it's very important, very, very, very important that we do these two quick little broadcasts because, you know, there are so many people out there in the Word of Faith movement where Kenneth Copeland is like the lead general or the lead apostle among the remaining Word of Faith teachers. He's the leader. He's the what we call the main Kazane. He's the Pied Piper of all the Word of Faith preachers, and they all are bowed to Kenneth Copeland today as the Pope of the Word of Faith preachers. So I have an audio here, and first I have to show you that Kenneth Copeland claims to be a prophet. That's number one, all right? So now let me read to you here in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I want to read to you verse 20. But it says here, Deuteronomy, and I'm reading first from the King James Version, and I want to read verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of another of the other gods, even that prophet shall die. So here we have two. First of all, the first count by which you can tell someone's false is that somebody falsely claims to be speaking on God's behalf. The people get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and they claim to be prophesying on behalf of God. Moses says the claim is false. What makes them a false prophet is that the claim that they make, that they're speaking for God, is a false claim. That's count number one. Number two, Moses says here in verse number 20, or if a prophet comes to you and he says, "I'm speaking on behalf of Baal," or "I'm speaking on behalf of Mammon," whatever the god may be, whatever the "I'm speaking on behalf of Ashtaroth," "I'm speaking on behalf of Juno," you know, whatever the god may be, that makes that person a false prophet. So first, a false prophet is a person who claims to be speaking for the true God, but the claim is false. And the second count is that a person claims to have a message from a false god or a foreign god or another god, which isn't the God of the Bible, then that person is a false prophet. So those are the first two counts in verse number 20. Then in verse 21 and 22, you have the third and final count. So how do I declare to you, how do I conclude, how do I share with you, how do I convince you, how do I make my argument, my ironclad argument, that Kenneth Copeland is a false prophet based on verse number 20? Well, obviously, Kenneth Copeland has never come and said to the people, "Thus says Beelzebub," or "Thus says Baal," or "Thus saith Ashtaroth." See, Kenneth Copeland has never used that language. Kenneth Copeland has never claimed to be speaking to God's people on behalf of a foreign god or a pagan god. Kenneth Copeland has never done that. So it's really count number one. It says here, if any prophet falsely claims that his message is from me, he's a false prophet. And that's the claim, that's count number one. Kenneth Copeland claims to be speaking on behalf of the God of the Bible. That's his claim. But that, my brothers and sisters, is a false claim. He does not speak on behalf of the God of the Bible, the triune God of the Bible. And because he doesn't speak on behalf of the triune God of the Bible, his claim that he's speaking for God is false, and thus that makes him a false prophet. His claim has no foundation. His claim has no veracity, if you will. His claim is bogus because he doesn't represent the God of the Bible. Moses here is speaking on behalf of the God of Scripture. And so Moses says, he says, this is what God says. If any man comes representing him and the false is claimed, he's not a prophet of God. So, first and foremost, let me establish before you that Kenneth Copeland claims that he's a prophet of God. Okay, let me play that audio. And this is a recent audio where once again, and I'm using recent audio. I want to show you once again where during this coronavirus pandemic, Kenneth Copeland claims to be a prophet of God. Let's listen to Kenneth Copeland.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
You see? He claims to be standing in the office of a prophet of God. But this claim is false. Why is it false? Well, because he doesn't represent the God of the Bible. This is what makes him a false prophet. What makes him a false prophet is that his claim is false. His claim isn't real. His claim is bogus. His claim has no connection to truth. That's what makes him a false prophet. The fact that his claim is hollow. His claim, and remember, he's claiming to be representing the God of the Bible. Because that's who Moses in context is talking about. The God of Israel, the God of Scripture, the God of the Old and the New Testament. All right? Okay, so let's listen to Copeland again as he tries to convince us that he is standing in the office of a prophet of God.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
See, now I need to play that because I need you to see and I need you to understand that he's making the claim. But when you check the claim out, the claim is false. And as a result of the claim being false, that makes him what? That makes him a false prophet. That's like if I was to tell you I was Irish, and then you would hire an investigator, and okay, let's find out if this guy's Irish, and then you would find out that I don't have one scintilla of Irish blood. Then you would say, brother, you lied. Brother, you told us you were Irish. And when we went to the cemetery, and we checked out your family records, and we looked at your father's gravestone, and your mother's gravestone, and your family's gravestone, you have no connection to Irish people. You have none. Your birth certificate, we checked out your family lineage. We went as far as we could, and as far as we could tell, you have no connection to the Irish people. None. I mean, you don't listen. You're not Irish. One, listen, just because you eat Lucky Charms and you believe in leprechauns and a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, that doesn't make you Irish. It doesn't make you Irish. Your claims are false. And so this is why I need to play this, because, again, Kenneth Copeland is trying to tell the world that he is a prophet of God and he's standing before us in the office of the prophet of God. But, my brothers and sisters, when we check out the claim is false. The same thing happened if you turn with me to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. And Jesus commends the church of Ephesus. Jesus commends the first church. Out of the seven churches Jesus writes to, the first church is the church of Ephesus. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus, in speaking to the church of Ephesus, says, I know your works, and I know your labor, and I know your patience, and how you can't bear them which are evil, and how you have put to the test those who say that they are apostles and are not apostles, and you discovered that they're liars. You see, my brothers and sisters, we are required to check out every single claim. If a man claims to be a prophet, we need to investigate that to see if it's true. If a man claims to, like in this text here in Revelation 2:2, here are people coming to the church of Ephesus claiming to be apostles. The disciples put them to the test and discovered that they were liars. There are people who make false claims, and the only way to find out if the claim is false is to what? Is to investigate it. To investigate the claim. So here Moses says in Deuteronomy 18:20, he says, but any prophet who falsely claims that this message is of me shall die. You see, there were people claiming to represent God, but the claim was what? False. Moses said, stone them. Stone them, put an end to them. Now, we don't stone false prophets today. We just sound the alarm today. That's all we can do. All we can do today is sound the alarm and warn the saints about false prophets. Don't anyone go out there and stone Kenneth Copeland. We are not advocating any of that. You let God take care of Kenneth Copeland when God so desires in his sovereign time. All we have to do is warn the flock, warn the sheep, to stay away from such people as Kenneth Copeland. He's a false prophet. Here he is making the claim that he represents God before the people as a prophet. Here it is again.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
Well, what God is he talking about? He's not talking about Baal. He's not talking of the God of the Canaanites or the Babylonian. He's not talking about Baal, one of the Babylonian gods, Belus. He's not talking about Belus. Bel is short for Belus. He's not speaking of the. He's not talking about the Assyrian gods. He's not prophesying in the Moabite, in the name of the Moabite gods. He's not Ammonite gods. Not Chemosh. No. He's coming to us in the name of the God of the Bible. But how do we know? How do we know if the claim is true? Well, because he doesn't represent the God of the Bible. That's why we know he's a false prophet. He's false because he doesn't represent the God of the Bible, even though he's making the claim that he does. Now, how do we know he doesn't represent the God of the Bible? Well, he's always bad-mouthing the God of the Bible. That's what he does. That's what Kenneth Copeland does. In fact, listen, I got three short audios, and we can do this real quick. First of all, let me show you how he doesn't respect God the Father. Remember, we worship the triune God of the Scriptures, one God manifested in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Does Kenneth Copeland represent the God of the Bible? Does he represent God the Father? No, he doesn't. Well, brother, how could you say that? Well, let me play an audio for you. And let me show you how Kenneth Copeland badmouths the Father. How he discredits God the Father. How he makes fun of God the Father. Here it is.
Who's the biggest failure in the Bible? God is.
What you said?
You know, everybody asks you, say, who's the biggest failure? They say, Judas. Somebody else will say, no, I believe it's Adam. Well, how about the devil? He's the most consistent failure.
Okay.
But he's not the biggest in terms of material failure and so forth. Biggest one in the whole Bible is God.
What?
Don't you turn that set off. You listen to it. I told you now, you sit still a minute. You know me well enough. No, I wouldn't tell something I can't prove about.
He lost.
Now, Now, you see, he claims to stand. He claims to stand in the office of a prophet representing the God of the Bible. But where have you ever read in Scripture that the biggest failure of all time is God? Where did you read that? Nowhere. Nowhere have you read that. Therefore, he may make the claim that he represents the God of the Bible, but he doesn't. He doesn't represent. He's denigrating the God of the Bible. He's calling the God of the Bible the biggest failure ever. Bigger than the devil. God is a bigger failure than the devil. My brothers and sisters, this man can't represent God. Even though he claims he does, he can't. Why? Because his God doesn't line up with biblical revelation about God. It just doesn't. Here's more.
Say Judas. Somebody else will say, no, I believe it's Adam. Well, how about the devil? He's the most consistent failure.
Okay.
But he's not the biggest in terms of material failure and so forth.
Biggest one in the whole Bible is God.
Run. Don't you turn that set off. You listen to it. I told you now. You sit still a minute. You know me well enough. No, I wouldn't tell something I can't prove in the Bible. He lost his top-ranking, most anointed angel, the first man he ever created, first woman he ever created, the whole earth, and all the fullness therein, a third of the angels at least. That's a big loss, man. I mean, you figure all that, that's a lot of real estate, brother, gone down the drain. Now, the reason you don't think of God as a failure is he never said he's a failure.
No.
And you're not a failure till you say you won.
Now, that doesn't even make sense. That's just plain stupid. But here's the guy claiming, he just recently claimed, I stand here before you in the office of a prophet of God. Yet he doesn't know the God of the Bible. He doesn't know the God of Scripture. He doesn't know God the Father. He doesn't. He doesn't. Therefore, that's strike one. All right. Let's go to the next audio. Here's Kenneth Copeland talking about Jesus.
You see, these are the words that he spoke to his disciples just before he went to Calvary, just before he died and went to hell and took our place and suffered in the region of the damned.
Now, that was Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland's mentor, teaching that Jesus suffered in the region of the damned. Jesus went to hell. And here's his disciple, Kenneth Copeland, parroting, like a parrot, parroting what his mentor said.
Jesus volunteered to go to hell. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nobody ever got out of there. He became sin. He was made sin. Now he's in the pit of hell. He's down there. He's in there. Suffering like no man has ever suffered. Death and all of hell's emissaries have piled in there on him to annihilate this one called the Son of God.
Well, Jesus never went to hell. You see, he doesn't know the Jesus. He's not representing the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus never went to hell, saints. He never went there. You know, last week, if you went to a traditional church, well, most people couldn't go to church, but if you've been going to church for as many years as I have, on every Good Friday, they have a series of preachers that come up and preach the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. The seven sayings. Two of the seven sayings ought to convince you that Jesus never went to hell. He never physically went to the lake of fire. Satan isn't in hell. His demons aren't in hell. That, listen, they're not there yet. They will be there one day. But Satan is not in hell ruling. Satan doesn't have a throne in hell where he rules. That's the last place Satan wants to go. That's the last place the Antichrist wants to go. That's the last place the false prophet and demons want to go. They don't want to go to hell. Hell is a place of torment, not a place where they cause the torment of others, but where they will be tormented, where Satan will be tormented. It's a fairy tale. In Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus said to one of the malefactors, they're hanging, you know, one of the thieves there, a malefactor, who said, you know, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say to the thief? He said, truly I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, Jesus was talking about heaven. So if Jesus said, Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life, if Jesus said to the thief who repented, today you will be with me in paradise, how could Jesus be in hell? Impossible. Impossible. And then, my brothers and sisters, when Jesus died, Satan didn't grab him. Demons didn't grab him. In fact, in Luke 23:46, and I just read to you Luke 23:43, but in Luke 23:46, Jesus said, Father, in your hands I commend my spirit. In other words, Jesus gave up the ghost. When he gave up the ghost, he deposited his spirit in the Father's hands, and then the Father took him to heaven. My brothers and sisters, when Jesus gave up the ghost, the devil didn't grab him. The demons didn't grab him. They didn't drag him down into hell. No. Jesus said, Father, into your hands. Two of the last seven words of Christ on the cross prove that Jesus never went to hell. Yet here's Kenneth Copeland claiming to be a prophet of God, claiming to be a man sent from God, and he's got a false Jesus. And listen, I'm just playing one clip for God the Father. I'm just playing one clip for God the Son. I'm just playing one, because one that you get wrong is enough to declare you a false prophet. So not only did Kenneth Copeland get strike one when he made that blasphemous claim about God the Father, but with Jesus Christ, it's strike two. Kenneth Copeland claims to be a prophet of God, but he doesn't represent the God of the Bible, the God of Scripture, saints. God is not the biggest failure in Scripture. Well, you couldn't even find that unless you were demented. Unless you were demon-possessed, you couldn't come up with that conclusion. And that Jesus went to hell and that he suffered there, and that he was beaten up for 3 days and three nights by demons? My brothers and sisters, that's nonsense. That's stupidity. So there's strike two. And my brothers and sisters, listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. If you got it wrong with God the Father, and you got it wrong with God the Son, you're going to get it wrong with God the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you and guide you to all truth. Kenneth Copeland got God the Father wrong, he got God the Son wrong, and here he gets God the Holy Spirit wrong.
When we know not how to pray as we ought, we pray for him in the Spirit. We receive utterance in the Holy Ghost. We receive prayers of faith. We receive, sir, we receive words that are not our own.
Bere kesto, ole man gelema ha delege, bo po predino un kidashe, stele bero kubo blabadero. Crema nalo como po, mare clanglo, boble e kemplino, mare vale campara.
Complete gibberish. A false prophet. A false prophet just talking gibberish. Claiming to be led and assisted and aided by the Holy Spirit. Well, if he was assisted and aided and led by the Holy Spirit, he would not have concluded that God was the biggest failure, and he would not have concluded that Christ went down into hell.
La tengo per un momento te le asche te. Per quello che mi amava e te le clemi di chiedo. Per quello che mi ha tale endole come meste, stelo clopai chi le vuole camana. Bramande che ricco come blesso do boschire, te le chiedo la campagna la nena ma quello ma hala larghero che le veno. Retto stesci manetello. Gerebana, gerebana, quello come un po' le che tu blestindo dunque le fa.
My brothers and sisters, don't be deceived by anyone who claims to stand in the office of the prophet and yet gets God the Father wrong, God the Son wrong, and God the Holy Spirit wrong. You cannot, listen, three strikes and you're out, buddy. And listen, just with that one alone, with just claiming that God was the biggest failure was enough to us to show him the door and kick his fanny out the church. With that one alone. Because everything that proceeds out of this man's mouth is falsehood on all kinds of levels. So he claims, to be a prophet of God, God of the Bible. But when we check the Bible, his claim is hollow. His claim cannot be substantiated because he is not representing the God of Scripture. The triune God of Scripture, he does not represent. And on that fact alone, we would have to say, false prophet. On that count alone, on that first count, he makes the claim, but we've investigated the claim and the claim is false. That makes him a false prophet. Now, I'll be back tomorrow to give you the second count as to why Kenneth Copeland is a false prophet, according to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. Until then, saints, love you much. Stay in the Scriptures. Be a Berean. And give these false prophets and teachers, give them fits. Don't let them get away with anything. Love you in Jesus' name.
False teacher, let him know. Pretzel dollar is a false teacher. Well, Benny Hinn is a false teacher. I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to
them. T.D. Jakes is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Paula White is a false teacher. Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher.
Well,
Robert Tilton is a false teacher. Popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to them.
Eddie Long is a false teacher.
Let them know.
Juanita Bynum is a false teacher.
Well,
Paul Crouch is a false teacher. Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.